Alrighty, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we began kind of a series last Sunday night where we talk about something that brings, that has brought great clarity in my relationship with God. And so we want to talk about fellowship. With God. Fellowship with God. Okay? And when we understand these two components that we introduced last week and pursue them tonight and the coming weeks, we will find out that it'll bring great clarity in our walk with the Lord, and we will have greater levels of fellowship with God. Who would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, please, especially if you have a New International Version? Verses 8 and 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you. Notice he, referring to God, will keep you what to the end? He will keep you strong to the end. It's God's job to keep us strong to the end, okay? That we call, verse 8, we call relationship, all right? We were born again into two circles of relating with God. Two circles. The first one is called relationship. Who began our relationship with God? We gave tons of scripture on this last week. Who began our relationship? God did. Remember Jesus? John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father first draws him. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. It is not because of you. It is because of God. Yes, we have to surrender. Yes, we have to say yes to the Lord. Yes, we have to respond to the Lord. But he initiated. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our what, church family? Of our faith. So it is clear that God began this thing, relationship, called relationship with us. So now, because we have this relationship with God through Christ, it is God's relationship, or God's responsibility, rather, to keep this relationship strong to the end, right? Boy, that just blows a hole into all the, we'll call it the Arminian camp. If you're a theologically oriented person, you'll understand the Armenian camp. The Armenian camp says, you keep yourself saved. Ha! Good luck with that. Right? I remember I was having a conversation once with a guy, and he was really legalistic, and he said, Pastor Joe, he said, by grace, God puts us in the camp. God brings us into the kingdom of God in grace, but we must keep ourselves in the kingdom of God by fulfilling the law. I thought, buddy, you have not read the New Testament. Amen? Because Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says that by observance, mere observance of the commandment of the law, shall no one be declared guiltless in the sight of God. Right? So, no, God brought us into the kingdom by his grace. God keeps us in his kingdom by his grace. And as the old hymn says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far. And what's going to lead me home? Grace. We need to understand that. The relationship that we have with God, he began with grace. By grace are you saved through faith, right? And it is maintained by grace, and it is by grace that we make it to his heavenly kingdom. All right, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. The same thought again, that he keeps us strong to the end, will come back up again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, who would like to read verse 18 loudly, please?
And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord's going to do two things, right? He's going to deliver me from every evil attack, every evil work, and he's going to preserve me for his what?
Heavenly kingdom.
So who keeps us strong to the end? Do we keep ourselves? No. Do we keep ourselves in the kingdom by obedience to the law? No. Who keeps us in? Who preserves us strong to the end to his heavenly kingdom? He does. That's relationship. Listen carefully. Relationship is all on God's shoulders. All we do in relationship is merely say, yes, I will enter a relationship with you, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all we said was yes. Right? I took the knee. I did the proposing. I made her an offer she could not refuse, that she better not refuse. Right? All she had to do was say what?
Yes.
Yes. See, it's the same with the Lord. Okay, that's relationship. But now notice verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says that God has also called us into what with his son? Fellowship. That's completely different than relationship. Fellowship. How many of us know that to really take advantage of a relationship, you must have fellowship in that relationship? You know, Cindy and I, I don't know how many times we have different places. Actually, we have tagged ourselves in on Facebook, what, 50 different locations, babe, all over the map. And every time that I see that she and I go out and eat, we're talking, we have these face-to-face, what's that called? That's called fellowship. We're communicating. We're enjoying each other's company, right? We are fellowshipping with each other. But then I also look at other couples, old and young, in the restaurant, and all they're doing is looking down at their food, eating, and not saying one single word to each other. What's that?
On their phones.
On their phones. And is the relationship there? Well, obviously, they're having a meal together. But is there any fellowship happening between the two? Mm-mm. No? So you see, church family, that the fellowship, the way to take the most advantage of a relationship is through fellowship. You see that? And fellowship is entirely on our shoulders, not God's shoulders. Right? The invitation to come before the throne of grace is open 24/7, right? Come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might find help in the time of need, help and mercy in the time of need. But we must avail ourselves of fellowship with God. Now, okay, so far so good, everybody, right? Okay, so now let's look at this. I'm going to erase this. We're going to look at a couple of components of fellowship. Number one, intimacy. See, transparency. To have intimacy with another person, I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. How many of y'all know there are many different levels of intimacy other than sex? There's emotional, there's spiritual intimacy, there's social intimacy. But to have intimacy, there has to be transparency. And the same has got to hold true with us. To have intimacy with God, we must be transparent before God. Right? We must be open. We cannot have walls up to have intimacy with the Lord. We must open our hearts, open our souls, because he already knows it anyway. But I find that there are some Christians that are not secure in their fellowship with God. Let me rephrase that. They're not secure in their relationship with God to have intimate fellowship with God. Who would ever feel comfortable to say, Lord, you know, I opened myself up this morning. And I said, you know, growing up, I told the Lord many times, Lord, I wish I was raised in a Christian home. Because the chaos and the drama and the, can I just, you know me, I'm always going to spell it out. The constant walking on eggshells at home, that was for the birds. And I saw some of my Christian friends who were raised in a Christian home, and they had peace because their parents were always at peace. There was peace in the home. And listen, church family, if you have peace in the home, you are mightily, mightily, mightily blessed. Can I get a witness? Then we talk about that in relationships. We are to seek peace and pursue it. We are to run after peace, to make it a goal to be at peace, right? And so, you know, I opened my soul to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I wish it was like that. Well, you know, nothing changed. But I will say this, when it came time for me to leave for college, I never looked back. I did not, when I would go back to El Paso, it was just to visit. It was during the summer breaks and the winter breaks. That was it. I did not look back. Tulsa, from that point on, was my new home, Tulsa, Oklahoma, when I was at, as Don calls it, Orson Welles University. What in the world is Orson Welles University? I've looked it up. It does not exist. And she said, no, I'm sorry. It was O-R, right? O-R-U. Orville Redenbacher University. Miss Don, we love you, Miss Don. If you got it right, you would have been perfect. So, well, when I was at Orville Redenbacher University, popping popcorn and getting my degree in kettle corn. anyway, so I never looked back, but I had that relationship with the Lord that I was secure to say, Lord, this is crummy. This really stinks to high heaven. I'm tired of the chaos. I'm tired of the drama. So let me ask you a question. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Do you have that security in your relationship with God that your fellowship can be brutally honest? See, because some of us say, well, we mustn't be honest with the Almighty. Ours is not to question. Ours is simply to obey. How does that go in the military, Mr. Genius? There you go. Ours is not to question or to wonder why, but to do and die. And so that works for the military, but that's not going to work in your relationship with God. You feel me? Go with me to Acts chapter 10. So far, so good, everybody? Yeah. Acts chapter 10. Let's look at an example. In fellowship, there has to be openness. There has to be the sharing of honest emotion, honest thought. Who's read through Psalms before? We know that King David was honest with God, right? Whether it was joy, whether it was worship, his worship was always bathed in raw human emotion. That's the way our fellowship with the Lord needs to be. Okay, Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in, saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he said, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, so let's skip down verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they prepared the food, he fell into a trance. Saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said what? "Yes, Lord, the mind is not to question or to wonder why, but to obey or to die." Is that what he said? No. No, listen, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again and the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times and the object was taken back up into heaven. So notice, did Peter question the Lord? Did he challenge the command? Did the Lord come down on him in his wrath toward Peter because he did that? No. What am I saying, church family? There has to be honest emotion in our fellowship with the Lord if we're going to have, listen carefully, deep, rich fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. It has to be that gut level honesty. Right? Religious prayers stink. You know, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus talked about the temple priest that he looked up to heaven and beat his chest and he said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like one of these, you know, sinners. I tithe twice a week." Those are religious prayers. That's religious mumbo jumbo. Whose prayer caught the attention of the Lord? "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He would not even look to the heavens. He said, "I am unworthy." That is raw. That is real. Real fellowship transpires when we quit shucking and jiving with Jesus and we start opening our hearts and our souls and say, "Lord, here's where I'm at. You meet me at the table of bargaining or at the table of meeting and let's have a talk." You know, there have been a few times in my journey of faith where I said, "Lord, I'm not even going to approach you with all the these and the thous. I'm not going to approach you, Lord. I'm just going to talk to you straight, Lord." And I unloaded on the Lord as if I was mad at him. I was not mad at him. I just needed to get some things off my chest. Do we have that kind of relationship and level of fellowship with the Lord where we can just say, "Lord, what's the deal here?" We're talking now on a level of breakthrough fellowship, church family. There has to be that form of intimacy, but there has to be corresponding transparency if we want the intimacy. Everybody wants the power of intimacy with God. Everybody wants power in their Christian experience. But how many of y'all know that just because you have a relationship with God, the power is available, but it's not until you plug into the fellowship that power is available to you right now. Right? I mean, there's electricity all around us, but let's say we shut off the switches. Are we availing ourselves of the power around us? Are we taking advantage of it? No. It's when you flip the switch that we start taking advantage of, and it's the same with fellowship. Just because you're in a relationship with God, you can say, "Power, power, we've got the power." But unless you're plugging in fellowship, that's when the power starts flowing through your life, in your life, to others and for others. Okay, any comments, any questions so far? Number two. Let's talk a little bit about ongoing, uninterrupted fellowship with God. Is that okay? Ongoing, uninterrupted fellowship with God. Who has found that there is a sweet peace in your soul when there is uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord? Amen? And can I break it down? You know, when you're consistent with your devotions, when you're consistent with your Bible reading, when you're consistent with your time with the Lord, that thing will just keep humming like currents of electricity through your life. I feel it in my life like it's just an ongoing peace. And I love it. And I love that feeling. There's peace in my soul. And because I'm at peace with myself, I can be at peace with others, right? I remember when I was young and I was 24, I was assistant pastor of a church with some responsibilities to the youth of that church in New Mexico. And I was getting my hair cut, and there was this gal cutting my hair, young gal, you know, about my age. And she was asking me questions to try to engage me, and I was just, you know, just chill. And I talked to her, and I brought up the Lord Jesus and started sharing Christ with her. And she said, "I knew you were a Christian." I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, how did you know that?" She said, "Because of all the men whose hair I cut," she said, "you're one of the most at peace. Some of the other guys that come in here and sit in my chair, they're always trying to hit on me. They're always so spastic. There's always something unsettled and agitated in their soul." But she said, "I sense in you a peace." So she knew that I knew the Lord at that young age because of that peace. Isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? And wherever he rules, that domain will be full of peace. But listen carefully, that can be ongoing in our lives. That can be ongoing, whether I'm thinking about the Lord or not. How many of y'all know that this past week, I was reflecting back, because I do a lot of, I really try as a believer to really get in touch with my soul to see if I have in fact been filling myself up with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says be filled over and over and over and over with the Holy Spirit's presence. And so I sometimes look back, and I thought, looking back this week, I said, this has been so crazy busy on many different levels, right, babe, that I said, I haven't, I mean, I've done my disciplines. I've read my Bible every day. I've read my devotions. I did everything I needed to do. And I still had that peace, even though I didn't have as much time to devote to the Lord. How many of y'all know that when you're consistent and you're faithful, the Lord understands that, and there's still that ongoing peace. There's that ongoing fellowship in your soul. Right? Now, I wish it was like that all the time, because life happens. Who's ever felt an inner jangledness? For lack of a better word, we're going to call it an inner jangledness in your soul, where you were all out of sorts inside. My ADD was bouncing off the walls, and I couldn't pay attention. And Cindy's talking to me, and I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, you're right." And then I would ask her a question. She's like, "You're not listening to me, are you?" I'm not, why do you ask that, babe? I just finished telling you the reason you just asked me. Married life. But it's an inner, let me write that out, inner jangledness that happens. So far so good, everybody? Good lesson? Inner, that's two words, jangledness. Where you're all out of sorts inside. What causes that? Several things cause that. Number one, anxiety causes that. Anxiety, stress, tension. I love the promise that Jesus gave in John chapter 14, or 16 rather, he said, or 14 rather, 14:26, I want to say, "My peace I leave with you. And my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Thank God he gave us his peace so we could have that fellowship. But when I'm anxious, it's hard for me to have that fellowship with the Lord. Right? Who's ever had those flights? I always liken my fellowship with the Lord like to be on an airplane where it was turbulent and bumpy. And then, you know, these you You're flying smoothly, and then all of a sudden you hit an air pocket, the plane hits an air pocket, and then you just sink. And you're like, oh, you feel you feel like you're going down an elevator like fast. Who's ever been on a plane, on a flight like that, right? There's an air pocket, you're like, and it's going down. I remember once I was one, and you're going to like this, I was flying into El Paso. We were flying over the Franklin Mountains, in fact, and there was a pilot that was off duty sitting at the very back of the plane, and I knew what it was. I was not scared. You know, it just went boom like that over the mountains, and I felt it, and I'm like, and then he's like, the guy says something. He's like, the plane's going to go down, and I just look at him, and I gave him the meanest look, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You better be sorry, Bucko. But, you know, I liken that sometimes our fellowship with the Lord is smooth, but then out of nowhere comes this thing that happens that jostles you around. Right? Maybe you receive bad news. Maybe you receive alarming news, and that rattles your cage. Maybe we suffer from sin consciousness. The book of Hebrews addresses that. What is sin consciousness? You know, I believe that if we're living in sin, if we're practicing sin continually, habitually, we need to be aware of it. Right? But I think sometimes many of us are doing our very best to follow Jesus, but we're bogged down with this awareness of sin that we can't shake. And Jesus paid the price so that we won't have to live with this sin consciousness like a weight that's dragging behind us. You know, David said in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. Gosh, that's no way to live. Jesus came to purify our consciousness, our consciences, rather, in the book of Hebrews, it says, from a guilty conscience, to purify us from that, okay? There's anxiety. We didn't write anxiety. Sin consciousness. Let's talk about external chaos. Listen, if we are not peacemakers with others, we will not have fellowship with the Lord. If we're always grinding axes, if we're always preparing to go to fight with somebody, turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 1. Notice verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with whom? One another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice, it's not just fellowship with God. If I truly have fellowship with the Lord, am I going to be in fellowship with others? Yes, I am going to be in fellowship with others. I'm going to embrace the fellowship of other believers, and I'm going to let go of this lame excuse that I'm tired of hearing. That I'm not saying I hear it here, but people say it all the time. Well, you know, we don't go to church. We are the church. So translation, stay home, watch a podcast, live stream it. You don't have to be at church. How many of y'all know that? Listen, baby, you miss out on so much if you're not sitting in one of the pews. Come on, somebody. Don't let me flapping out here. You get very, very little by a live stream. And if that's all you can do, praise the Lord. Thank God for that ministry. But I see that there are a lot of able-bodied people that need to get their butts in church. I'm still old school like that. I still like the scripture that says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Hebrews chapter 10. Right? So there has to be, I will embrace the fellowship of other believers. Because I'm at fellowship with the Lord. And if I'm fellowshipping with the Lord, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. There's an old saying, oh, to be with God's people in heaven, that'll be glory. But to love my neighbor next door, well, that's a different story. Who knows that's true? But I'm going to be in fellowship. And listen to your family. I'm not going to pick fights with God's people. I'm not going to fight. Sometimes it's better to be the person. I know this is not, it's easy to say, it's harder to live. Easier to be the person defrauded than to be the person constantly trying to pick fights with someone. I'm not going to pick a fight. I don't have to fight you. All right. Did we learn something? Is this a good lesson? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for your word that applies to us. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts up to you in genuine transparency so that we can hit new levels of intimate fellowship with you, Lord. Help us, Father, to maintain that, Father, because fellowship is entirely on our shoulders. Father, when it comes to things that we've done wrong or said things that were wrong in your presence to somebody else, may we repent. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, so that our fellowship can be reinstated, Lord. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.